Is something missing in your life? I want you to think for a minute, if you could change anything in your life, what would it be? What would it be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share your word today. Prepare our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. I read to you from Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is the oldest of the gospels. It's also recorded in Matthew 19, Luke 18, and we're going to go there. We're going to look at this just like if I was coming to your kitchen table, and we're going to sit down and we're going to study this. So I'm going to give you some tips on some study. Whenever you're in the gospels, whatever the subject is, you need to check out the other Gospels. How did the other writers see this? How did they record this incident? What did they see that the other writer did not see? And that's why we're going to put something, put a marker in Mark, and we're going to go to Matthew. You're going to go with me. I want to show you some things about this subject before we really get into it. We're going to find out who he is. Does any of the Gospels mention his name? No, they do not. They don't mention his name. There's no name given. But Matthew records it in chapter 19, verse 16 through 26. Matthew 19, 16 through 26. Now let's look at this and see what we can learn from this one. From this writer, behold, one came, doesn't say his name, and said unto him, good master. Notice it's the same thing. He called the master good, good master, and the question is the same in all three gospels. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now that question is asked in all three of them. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? Now, Jesus was just checking this young man's knowledge. Good master, who told you that I was good? Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, isn't Jesus also God? Yes, he is. But he was wanting this young man to respond to him. Why do you call me good? Who told you I was good? Basically, what he was trying to find out from this young man, just how much this young man knew about him. Why callest thou me good? There's none good, but that is God. And if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now the young man came to him because he was concerned about eternal life. He said unto him, the young man said, well, which of them? The Lord said, keep the commandments. And the young man says, which one of them? Jesus said, thou shalt do no more murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we're going to stop in verse 20 because this is some information we needed. And the what man? Young man. Okay, now we know he was young. So we got some more information from Matthew. We got what we needed from Matthew. Now let's go to Luke. We need some more information. Let's see what Luke has to say about him. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. That's easy. Luke 18, 18. Now Luke also, as you know, he's a doctor. He's talking about the same man, but gives us a little bit more information. And then once we have all our information, then we're going to talk about him. All right, Luke 18 says, and a what? A certain ruler. Okay, now, Mark didn't say anything about him being a ruler, did he? No, he did not. Mark didn't tell us he was young. Matthew said he was young. He was young, and Luke tells us he's a ruler. Now we got some more information he is a rich young ruler. Now we got some information. This certain ruler asked him and said, good master, what shall I, and there it is again, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There's only one that is God. And the Lord goes on to say about the commandments. All right, back to Mark. We got all that we need. That was the extra that Mark gave us now that we have the information. If you could change anything in your life, did you think about it? What would it be? Obviously, when you have feelings of being dissatisfied about something in your life, it is that dissatisfaction that motivates you wanting to change something. Perhaps we think if we had better health, or maybe a different job that gave us an increase of income. And by the way, you don't have to make a lot of money to be happy. Why is it that our culture seems to think that the more you make, the happier you'll be? That's not the case. I know a lot of people who had a lot of money and they weren't happy. Do you think Elvis was happy? Huh? Elvis had enough money, he could get anything he wanted. So why did he take so much drugs? Uppers and downers. You know that when he was done with a concert, he'd go home and he'd sing gospel music because that's how he was raised. He was raised in a Pentecostal church. He learned to sing religious music. But he found that really can make a lot of money if you sing that secular stuff. Make a lot of money. Elvis could have bought anything he wanted. He was good-hearted. He gave away a lot of his stuff. Stories told that he'd went into a restaurant and somebody asked him, said, you know, I sure'd like to have a pink Cadillac like you have. And Elvis gave him the keys. You have one now. He was good-hearted. He was raised in a Christian home. But there was an emptiness in Elvis's life. It was obvious he was empty. Elvis isn't alone. There's a lot of people empty. Maybe if I had a different job, maybe a new relationship's the answer. Some of us maybe just can't quite figure out what's causing these feelings. We know something's missing. Just to change our circumstances is a very short solution. Because you see, there's an empty place in our souls, and only God can fill that. He made us that way. Only He can fill that. Here in Mark's gospel, we have a story about a man who knew that there was something missing in his life. And I want you to notice, Mark said he ran to Jesus. Running means he was desperate. He was eager to find out what it was he was after. He said, good teacher, what shall I do? Well, you should circle I do, because you do nothing. And it's why is it that people that have money think if I just give more of my money away and help more people, maybe that should do it. Good behavior. You can have it all and yet still feel like something is missing. You see, the young man in this story had everything that the world values: wealth, youth, possessions, position, and authority. And there certainly is nothing wrong with having any of these. But you see, ultimately, they cannot fully satisfy you. You see, God made us for Himself. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And we have that through His Son. He is the only one who can fill those empty places in our lives. Accumulating more material goods, achieving greater success will never make us complete. And we need to be grateful for whatever the Lord gives us. But our love needs to be toward Him and not toward the things of this earthly life. I'm going to read a portion of scripture that's found all the way back at the back end of the Bible toward the book of Revelation. Right close to Revelation, it's 1 John. I'm headed to 1 John. 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, our love for material possessions can cause us to miss one of the most important things in life. Money's good and it's useful, but it'll never buy what we need most. Why is it? It takes a lifetime for so many people to figure that out. How many hours do you strive to get possessions? Only when you draw your last breath, you leave them all behind. You leave them all behind. You spend years of your life, most of your life, in a quest for possessions, all kinds of things that will only bring disappointment, because one day we're going to leave it all here. Our most important possession is eternal life. You see, that's why the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He had all the earthly possessions and achievements he had ever wanted, but he knew he needed one more thing, eternal life. He ran to Jesus. His running showed his desperation. You see, running in public was something that men of dignity never did in those days. When you had was a man in big position, you didn't run. Running was weakness. It showed desperation. And a man of authority didn't do that. Isn't that interesting? I never thought of it that way. There's so many people today, much unlike the rich young man. They have nice homes to live in, nice neighborhoods, an abundance of material things, but they never realize their need for eternal life until it's too late. There are so many others that feel the emptiness, but they try to fill it with pleasures and pursuits of the world. There are others that are running away from God rather than running to Him, and many that deny their need for a Savior. But they forget that death comes to all men, and after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Our Sunday school lesson today was the Lord separating the sheep from the goats. The Lord allowed the sheep and the goats to live with one another all through life. And then at the end of life comes a time for separation. And so it is with us. The gift of eternal life is not the result of our good works. Now, the rich young ruler knew he needed eternal life. But the problem was he made some faulty assumptions. And I wanted you to underline or circle, I do. You see, his assumption was it was something he could earn. It was something that he could earn. He could perhaps earn eternal life if he was good. You'd be surprised how many people in this world think they're going to go to heaven because they're good. They do good things. Hell is going to be full of people that did good things. Are you listening to me? You can't go to heaven without Jesus. But there's a whole world thinking, I never killed anybody. I never stole anything. I've been good all my life. I never did any of those things. Why shouldn't I go to heaven? Well, you can if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You see, that's where it's at. It's not the things we do. It's not the things we possess. But you see, this rich man said, what shall I do? But he missed it. You don't need to do anything, rich man, except one thing. And Jesus knew what he had to do. Because you see, Jesus looked into this rich man's heart and he saw what the problem was. The rich man loved his money. He loved what money could get for him. He loved it. And he wasn't willing to let go of it. And Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus said, there's one thing thou lackest. You've obeyed all the commandments from your child up. You've done all that. But there's one thing you need to do. Just sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You know what? He couldn't do it. He was in too much love with it. He couldn't do it. Couldn't let it go. Isn't that sad? How many of you ever watched the show Pickers? Huh? Mike and Frank go around buying stuff. Well, for some of you that don't know anything about the program, these guys go around and buy stuff. Hopefully you take home to their store and sell it and make a profit. And they visit and they travel all through the country, all over the place, all through the states they travel. And they find these people that are hoarders. I call them hoarders. They don't have enough buildings to put stuff in, so they throw it around outside yet. They're just hoarders. Just in love with things. Things. They just got to possess things. I mean, these guys got warehouses and warehouses and barns and sheds full of junk. I just call it junk. Some of the stuff they buy, I think they're just nuts. Just crazy. They wouldn't give $1,000. I wouldn't give the guy a dollar for it. Junk, as far as I'm concerned. Here's the point I'm making. Now, they usually end up in these places where these old guys are trying to get rid of some things because their kids are coming up and they're thinking, we're not going to want to deal with this mess. And so they get after dad or mother, whoever it is that's left behind. They say, you got to get rid of this stuff. We can't have all this stuff. So Mike and Frank show up and they try to get some of this stuff. And man, you find out how hard they're hanging on to it. When they start talking about a price, you'll find out how much they love it. I'll give you two for that. You mean $2? I mean 200. Well, you need it. You don't want to get rid of it very quick, do you? You see, that's what I see. These things possess people. There's nothing wrong with possessions, but do the possessions possess you? They obviously do if you can't get rid of them. They obviously do. If you can't part with them. Nothing wrong with possessions. Just don't let them possess you. And so the Lord responded to the young man. He reminded him of the commandments. Do not murder and do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not fraud. Honor your father and mother. Verse 19. And so this man claimed he had kept all these since his youth. But you notice Jesus didn't mention all of the commandments. He omitted the first four, which spoke about loving and worshiping God. And the last one that forbid coveting. Those are the ones he had omitted. But Jesus, having looked into this young man's heart, knew the young man's problem was his love for money. And after he told the Lord about his obedience to the commandments, I'm sure he probably thought Jesus would tell him, because of your good behavior and because of the wonderful gifts and things you've done for other people, you will have eternal life. This is what he probably was hoping to hear. The same as what the rest of the world hopes to hear. We are not saved by good works, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. And so, instead of the Lord commending the young man, Jesus pointed out the one thing that thou lackest. Go and sell all that you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, I wanted you to understand that the Lord wasn't saying that giving away all your earthly possessions is a requirement for eternal life. Don't think for a moment that you got to get rid of all your possessions to get eternal life. You don't have to do that unless they possess you. You see, that's the difference. Unless they possess you, then you have to get rid of them. But you won't. And neither did this man. He wasn't interested in getting rid of them. And it's sad. He could have had eternal life because God gave him the answer to his question. He was trying to help this young man see his sin of greed. He was trying to get this young man to recognize that his material wealth was standing between him and salvation and eternal life. Jesus was asking him to relinquish his idol, surrender his life, and follow him. But the young man's problem wasn't that he owned much, but that he was owned by much. And the only way he would be able to follow Jesus was to lay down the riches which he held in such a tight grip. He found the answer to his question, to eternal life, but he turned it down. He gave it up. He gave up eternal life, which can never be lost, in order to hold on to that which he would never be able to keep. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He ran to Jesus for hope, but he walked away grieved, being deceived by his wealth. He had much. He had a lot. He didn't want to give it up. But guess what? One day he did give it up. And he went to an eternal hell. What should a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's what hangs in a balance. Jesus loves even when we make wrong choices. The scripture says Jesus loved him. That's what it says. He loved the young man. He loved him as he loves you and I. Don't you think it saddened him that he was that close? It reminds me of Judas. Judas kissed the gates of heaven and went to hell. Much like this young ruler. He was that close to eternal life, but lost it. Jesus saw his problem. Jesus gave him the solution, and then he invited this man to follow him. Notice, the man ran to Jesus, but he walked away sorrowful because he had much. And so Jesus told his disciples how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The rich young man rejected Jesus' offer of salvation for three reasons. Unbelief. He couldn't accept what Jesus said. He couldn't trust his life. He couldn't put his future into Jesus' hands. So it was unbelief. The second was self-righteousness. He trusted in his own goodness as a means for acceptance. And his third, love of the world. He wouldn't let go of his wealth and possessions to follow Jesus. Isn't it sad? And so Jesus acknowledged that it was very difficult for the wealthy to enter heaven. And he used the example of a camel going through the eye of a needle. Now we know a camel can't go through the eye of a needle, as we know. But that's not the needle that the Lord was referring to. What the needle was that Jesus was referring to was a small opening in the wall in Jerusalem. There was a small opening, and the opening is very low, and it's in the shape of an arch. And in order for a camel to get through, the camel has to get down on its knees and rutch, Snyder County word, rutch its way through. Just barely able to make it through. You see, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so the disciples said, well, then who could be saved? And that's when Jesus said, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With man, it looks impossible, but God specializes in the impossible. Jesus shed his blood, and he provided a way for every one of us for eternal life. And so it takes me to the book of Romans. Romans tells us how to be saved. You ever hear of the Romans Road? Well, that's what they're referring to in the Romans Road. You start with around chapter 6 of Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's part of the Romans Road. You end up in chapter 10, where it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. You don't have to do anything except that. You don't have to get rid of your money just to prove that you can. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Verse 10. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is all rich unto all that call upon him. And I like verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So rich young ruler, it's not what you can do. It's not how much money you can give away. It's just simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. So many people will miss it. So, in closing, do you feel like something's missing in your life? What do you think is causing this sense of emptiness in your life? If you ran to Jesus with this need, what would he tell you to do? And are you willing to let go of whatever he says you need to let go? Ooh. Is there anything that is causing you to resist following Jesus fully? What kinds of things tend to own you rather than you owning them? Think about that for a moment. What kinds of things tend to own you rather than you owning them? Head bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. It's time now for you to say, Lord, I want you to examine my life. Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from serving you as fully as I could? And Lord, if there is, remove it. Would you put your hand up with mine? Mine's up. I don't want anything between me and the Lord. Nothing. Not a thing. Children are all, I see many hands all over this place. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this message. Thank you for all these hands. Lord, I don't want anything to stand between me and you. I want to make heaven my eternal home. I want to be reunited with my loved ones who are waiting for me. Thank you so much for eternal life. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can tell you this message spoke to my heart when I was preparing it this morning. We're going to have the anointing service at this time.